Okay, so when the Gemara gave the answer, Ela Torah Hu B'Po'alav, the question is, what is happening now in terms of, you know, this takana about a socher that he's a nishba v'noto? How does Torah B'Po'alav now work? And also, have we abandoned the reason of Kedei Chayav? I mean, what happened to that? Now let's recall again, what was the problem with the Gemara originally said that Okru Rabbanan Lishvua from the Balabayas Bashod Yuas Sachir Mishum Kedei Chayav. That because of Kedei Chayav, so I think I was talking about this with some of you during Chavrusa time, that the Kedei Chayav, what the Gemara is saying, apparently there are two things that the Chachamim did Mishum Kedei Chayav. Number one, there was a shavua, at least in theory, to be imposed on the Balabayas, but they took, number one, and then number two, they took it away from him, and they instead placed it on the Sochir, that he should be a Nishba Venotel. Isn't that right? That what else? That's what the Kedei Chayav was. Now, the Gemara had a problem with this. Now, what was the problem that the Gemara had? The problem is, well, if this is all Mishum Kedei Chayav, why are we, in a sense, penalizing the Balabayas? What do we mean? It would have been enough for what? That Mishum Kedei Chayav to impose what? A Shavua, just on whom, though? On the Balabayas. And that way he would be a Nishba V'Niftar. And again, what would be the point of it? The point would be because if he thinks it through very carefully, or if he doesn't want to swear, then the socher will collect his money. So by imposing this shvua, wouldn't that satisfy everything? Why did the Chazal have to go so far as not only impose a shvua, but then in a sense to take it away from the Baal Bayis and give it to the socher to be a nishba v'notel? Now the Gemara tried to give an answer. Well, the Baal Bayis prefers that the socher swears. But then the Gemara had problems with that. What do you mean he prefers? Why would he prefer? Because why did the Gemara think that maybe he would prefer? Because he wants to be able to hire workers. But the Gemara said, well, workers would be willing to work no matter what, because where else are they going to work? So the Gemara never really resolved that question until when? Which question of? Why did they have to take it away from the Balabayas and place it on the Socher? Would have been enough just to impose it on the on the Balabayas. Mishum Kedei Chayav. That's where the Gemara came in and said, Elo Torah Hu B'Po'alav. So the question is, what is now happening when the Gemara introduces Tirda? Now, I tried to explain yesterday, and I wanted to show you actually another Tosfos, which is, I think, also is even clearer than the first Tosfos, that Tosfos, I thought, understood that when the Gemara came, Ela Torah Hu B'Po'alav, I'm just repeating again because I want to build on what we said yesterday, that Torah Hu B'Po'alav actually is saying now that this Balabayas, even though his claim, he presents a claim of a Tanas Bari, because he says he's sure, we don't think he can be sure. We think he doesn't really know, because he's so confused, he has so much to do, he has workers and business and ledgers and this and that. He can't keep track of everything, so he thinks he paid. But the truth is, he really doesn't know if he did or he didn't. So I thought Tosfos took that as a real Sofek D'Oraisa, a real Shema Minatara. This is not some Chumra D'Rabbanon. This was a real din, I thought. I mean, the way Tosfos presents it sounds like it's a real din D'Oraisa, that we view his claim as a Tanas Shema. So therefore, it's basically Bari V'Shema. I, Bari V'Shema, Tosfos asked, it's a machlokas on Moroim, whether Bari Odif or not. So Tosfos said, no, there'd be no machlokas in this case, because Tosfos proves that the machlokas is only if the Shema is about what? I don't know if I ever had any obligation to you in the first place. Like, for example, I come over to you and I say, you owe me $100, and you say, well, I don't know if I even owe you anything. I don't even know if I ever borrowed money from you. Because you don't even know if there ever was any chiyuv to begin with. It's in that case you have a machlokas amoraim. But what would be if the case were I come to you and I say, you know, I loaned you $100 and you didn't pay me back, and you said, oh, I know I borrowed the money, but I can't remember if I paid you or not. So you're acknowledging that there was a chiyuv. You're acknowledging that you are a lova, that you had borrowed money. So you're acknowledging that there was a pre-existing, that the status quo was you were chayev. The only thing you're not sure about is did you or didn't you pay. So Tosfos says in that case, everybody would agree, bari v'shema, bari adif. Yeah.
What happens if the bari and the shema are switched? If someone, if Tobiah comes and says, I'm not sure, but I think you owe me money, and another person says, I'm sure I paid you.
So what do you think?
There's no claim.
I come up, think what you're saying. I come out and said, you know, I think you might owe me money. I'm not sure, but I think you might owe me some money. So it's nothing.
No,
how? What are you going to say? Because I think you might owe me some money, therefore you have to pay me.
Well, what's the basis for saying with Bari Vashema that there's two different situations in Bari Vashema, that the Shita that says Bari Vashema lav Bari Adit or Bari lav Adit, why are they more than the other case?
Because they feel that if we don't even know, no, it's a rational it's a distinction that they
where the money is.
No, the question is if you are, let's say I come to you and I say, where's the money that I loaned you, and you acknowledge there was a loan, and but you don't know whether you paid me or not. Mm-hmm. Now I claim, so you acknowledge there was a chiyuv to pay me back,
right.
So there was a chiyuv to pay me. And you don't know that you ever fulfilled that chiyuv. So you're not saying I fulfilled it. You don't know. But there was an outstanding debt that did exist, which you acknowledge. So with my bari and your admission of an outstanding debt that you've never said that you fulfilled it, you don't know if you did or not. So then such a bari with such a shema is bari adif. But if you don't even know, you don't know anything. You don't even know if you ever borrowed the money. So you're not acknowledging any outstanding debt. So then the question is, just simply because I'm a bari, that should be enough to collect? So that opinion says, no, I would have to come up with more proof to take out money from you. Okay, so now if you take a look, we didn't discuss this on Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph, another Tosfos, the Tosfos of Afilu Kotzatz Nami. So I think that this Tosfos again, I'm talking just about this very point that Torah Hu Bepoa Lov, I thought is a real Minatorah. What the Gemara is saying is that he is a Shema. Even though he says he's not. He says he's a Bari, but we don't trust him. Yeah, he thinks he's a Bari. No, we believe, we know that you think you're a Bari. But we also know that you're a very, very busy man. And we don't imagine that you could remember. We just can't imagine that you could actually really remember who you paid and who you didn't pay. So therefore, we view whatever you say with skepticism, and we think you're a Shema. Isn't that right? Tell me what Tosfos Afilu Kotzatz Nami. Tosfos asked the Kotzatz. Remember Afilu Kotzatz Nami? What's it done by Kotzatz? The Gemara said that if they both, what? If the dispute between the Balabais and the Socher is not whether he paid or not, but rather the amount, the Balabais says, I only agreed to pay you one dinar, and the Socher says, no, you agreed to pay me two. So in that, the Gemara said, Amatz mechaver lof haraya, and the Gemara explained it because Ketzitza vaday midkar dochir lei. Ketzitza, he would remember. He would remember how much he agreed to pay people. Now, whether he actually paid this person, that we don't assume he'll remember. But he does, we do know what he agreed to pay. So Tosfos asks the Kasha here. What's the Kasha? Someone tell me the Kasha in Tosfos' Teretz. Who can explain it? What is Tosas asking? No? Yes?
Maybe he's saying that in this case it should be like the case of any of there where he's not Moda, that he owed it because.
Well, why is it like that case? Do you understand why it's. He compares it
he's
to
saying,
what.
He's saying that it's like the case where he's not Moda.
For example, what case? What Tosas quotes the case of what? Eini
yodea
im gazalticho.
Right.
If I stole from you. It's not that I know that I stole from you, but I don't remember if I returned it to you. But what if he says, I don't even know if I stole, and I come to you and I say, you stole my thing, I want it back. And you say, I don't even know if I ever stole anything from you. So that's where there is a machlok. You understand why there? Because you're not even acknowledging that there was a chiyuv, that you ever stole anything that would have created a chiyuv to return. So in that case, Tosfos says, that we know that according to Rav Nachman and Rabbi Yochanan, they're the ones that say that such a bari v'shema, bari lav adif, and therefore you don't have to pay. So Tosas feels that. So why do you understand why Tosas thinks that the Katzatz case is really doma to that case?
Because the
Katzatz
is arguing whether he owes him like.
Yeah, the Balabai, the Sacher says. Comes to the Balabai and says, you owe me too. So, and what does the Balabai say? All the Balabai says, as far as I know, I only owe you one. Now, what about the other one?
I never owed it to you.
Now, one second now. He says, I never owed it to you. But that's before, remember, Tosas is asking his Kasha before the Gemara came up with what answer. I don't know if you know what I mean. No, so Gemara asked the Kasha from Katzatz. What did the Gemara there ask? That if we're saying that there's Tirdas Poalim, then how come even in Katzatz, why is the Halacha Motz Mechaver Lof Haraya? So at this point in the Gemara doesn't know that Katzitza is any different than the regular case. Right, because we think he's Torud. Of course, the Gemara answered he's not Torud about that, but we don't know that yet. So in the Havamin of the Gemara, when the Gemara asked the Kasha, what are you thinking? We're thinking that he's also tarred when it comes to katzitza. So therefore, on the first dinar, which he says he owes him, so okay, he owes him that. And then on the second dinar that he says he doesn't owe him, so right now we're afraid he's tarred. He thinks he doesn't owe him. But maybe, in fact, he does owe him. So he's a shema about the second dinar. Now, the shema on the second dinar, is it a shema that he acknowledges a chiyuv but doesn't know if he paid it? Or is it a shema that he doesn't even know that he doesn't even acknowledge the chiyuv? Yeah, it's the latter. So, not acknowledging that there definitely is a chiyuv, so that's where there's a machlokas amorayim, whether bari v'shema, bari adif, or bari lav adif. So then why is the Gemara assuming that afilu katzatz nami, that what? When the Gemara asks the kasha, the Gemara is assuming what? That the socher should be able to what? To collect. Why should the socher be able to collect? Because let's view, yeah, on the second dinar, the socher should be able to collect the second dinar, because on the second dinar, it's bari v'shema. But Tosas is asking, yeah, but such a bari v'shema, Rav Nachman and Rav Yochanan happen to hold that bari lav adif. So why is the, now, what the Gemara is rejecting Rav Nachman and Rav Yochanan's opinion. So what did Tosas answer to this? What did Tosfos answer? What? What? Yeah, what?
This is different from the Moda,
yes? So it is. So what?
So you're saying that that he did at least owe him something. Like he agrees that he did owe that he took something.
Okay, so what? How does that solve our problem? That's not what Tosfos says. What does Tosfos say? No, nobody answers. What does Tosfos say? Yes.
So it's like a case where you say, I admit to half, and the other half I don't know. So in that case, there's no.
What's the halach in that case?
The halach is that he can't swear.
Why can't he swear?
I need to know this, but I don't remember.
What?
You can swear about something you're not sure about.
What are you going to swear? I swear that I don't know?
Oh.
So we're not any smarter after you tell, after you swear to us that you didn't know than from before you said, before you swore and said, I don't know. So we know that he doesn't know. So. No, so if I come to you and I say, what's the halach in the following case? I come to you and I say, you owe me $100. So you say, well, 50, I agree, I owe you. The other 50, I don't know. I don't know if I owe you that amount. I don't know. I'm not saying you're right. I'm not saying that. But you might be wrong. I just don't know. So obviously the 50 that I'm... Now normally, what's the halacha in a moda b'mitzvah case? You're chayav shvua. Now, the guy here, would he be chayav shvua? Well, he should be chayav shvua. But what's he going to swear? He's going to swear, I know definitely that I owe you 50. Well, you don't have to swear about that. He's motivated to that. Normally, what would you be swearing about? That you don't know the other 50. But you can't swear that because you don't know. So what are you going to swear? I swear that I don't know? That's not a shvua. We wouldn't make a person take such a shvua. That's a wasted shvua because he still doesn't know. He still might owe the money, right? So you wouldn't impose such a shvua. That's just a wasted shvua. So what happens in a case like this? Notice he should have to swear, but he can't. So what happens when there should be a shvua, but you can't take it? Now there are two possibilities. You could say, well, if there's supposed to be a shvua and you can't take it, so then you just don't take it. You'll just pay the 50 that you owe, and end of story. But that's not the halacha. What is the halacha? That, as Tosus quotes, it's mitoch she'ena yochol lishova mishalim, that where a person is chayav v'shvua, but he's unable to take it. Now, you could be unable to take it either because, well, it could be that you just choose not to take it. What if I say, I don't want to take the shvua? I don't want to take it. What's going to happen? You'll pay. Well, what will be if you just can't take the shvua, like in this case, because you say eini yodea? You also have to pay. What would be if you can't take the shvua because you've been proven in the past to be a liar? Yeah, but not midrabanan. Again, the din would be you pay. So we see that where you're chayav shvua, but you can't take it, you have to pay. Okay. So how does this answer our problem? You understand how this, what was Tosus's kasha? Tosus's kasha was, why should a case of ketzitza, why should it be a case where the Gemara is asking the how come the socher doesn't collect? Why is the din hamotz mechaver alof haraya if we're assuming that he's Torah b'po'alof? So Tosus asks, what kind of a kasha is that? This is not a bar v'shema bar yodiv according to Rav Nachman and Rav Yochanan. Answers Tosfos, what? That in this case of Ketzitza, it just so happens that the balabayis is a mode of the miktsas. That's the case, right? The socher says two dinarim, the balabayis, just 1 second, the balabayis is moded to one. Now, on the one that he's moded to, fine. And on the second one, how does Tosus view? He's a Shema. That means on the second one, it's as if he said what? Eini yodea. He didn't say it. He says, I do know that I don't owe it to you. But we assume he's Torah b'po'alov, which is a Shema. That means on the second dinar, we view the balabayas as if he said on the second dinar, I don't know. Well, if that's the case, then is he chayav shvua of moda b'miktsas? Well, yes, he is chayav. He's chayav the shvua because the balabais was moda b'miktsas, but he can't swear. Why can't he swear? Because we say to him, you really don't know. So we're not going to let him swear because we don't think he really knows. So therefore, what's going to happen? He should pay. That's exactly the Gemara's kasha. That's what the Gemara asked. If we are assuming that a balabais is Torah b'po'alov, then how come in the case of Ketzitza, what is the halacha in Ketzitza? The socher loses, unless he could actually prove it. The socher loses. But didn't Hamotz Mechaver Lo Faraya ask the Gemara, why does he lose? The Baal HaBayis should have to pay him the second dinar as well. Why? Well, once we assume on the second dinar he's a Sheman, why do we assume that? If Torah B'Polav is correct, then that means he's a Shema, he's an Ein Yodea on the second dinar, and since he'd be Chayiv Shvuah of Motiv B'Mikzas, but he can't take it, so what's the halacha when you're Chayiv Shvuah and you can't take it? Mitoch She'enu Yochel L'Shav V'Mishalim. Therefore, what should be the din? The din simply should be that the Baal HaBayis should simply have to pay the two dinarim. So why does the Braisa say that in the case of Ketzitza, Hamotz Mechaver Lo Faraya? To which the Gemara answered, what? That he's not Torah B'Polav with regard to Ketzitza. He's Midkar Dochirle. So what do you see from this Tosfos? You understand what you see from this Tosfos? That what does Tosfos feel about Torah B'Polav? What does that mean? Tosfos is ready to say that in a situation where he's Torah B'Polav, then what would be the halacha? Mitoch she'enu yochel l'shava mishalem. Based on what? Why do we say here mitoch? Why is enu yochel l'shava? Because he's a shema. Now, does this sound like a chumra derabbanan, or does this sounds like it's a din d'oraisa? But let me ask it differently. This halacha that mitoch she'enu yochel l'shava mishalem. Let's see, b'moda b'mitzas. Let's see, b'moda b'mitzas who says I don't know about the other 50. So we say the halacha is he has to pay. Is that a chumra derabbanan, or that's me'ikar adin? That's me'ikar adin. That if you can't swear, you pay. That's minat Torah. So if I'm chayv v'shuah of motiv b'mikzas minat Torah, but I can't swear on the other 50, or I just don't want to swear on the other 50, so minat Torah, I'm mechuyev to pay. This is what Tosfos is saying, the din should have been here, if what? As long as we assume by Ketzitza that he's Torah b'Polav. The Gemara then answered, well, he's not Torah b'Polav when it comes to Ketzitza. Yeah?
So what is it that... this is Tosfos, or you just want to say it for the Ramban, if you look at the whole idea of making, turning his claim, he says Bari and we make it Shema. Mm-hmm. If you say that we make it Shema Midrabanan, then would the halacha here be different? Would you not go as far as saying that he can't, because Shua said he'd have to pay?
Well, let's see. So let's now go over to the Ramban. Let's look at the Ramban. So, now, the Ramban, I don't believe, asked this kasha anywhere, did he? Did you go through the... I don't think he did. This kasha that Tosfos asked by Ketzitza, the Ramban never... he didn't ask this. So let's now go through the Gemara again. So that's why I think that the Tosfos really believes that Torah B'Polav is a Shema. Now, the Ramban clearly said that Torah B'Polav, Minat Torah is not a Shema. Yeah?
Does everyone agree that there's no Shvuah Motiv B'Mikzas at Ketzitza?
Why? What do you mean, does everyone? Why should everyone agree? He was Motiv B'Mikzas.
No, but if he's Motiv B'Mikzas at Ketzitza, so...
he is Motiv B'Mikzas, right. So there's got to be a... If
you assumed yesterday that he was making a Shvuah, and now he's saying that he wouldn't.
No, he would be in the Maskana.
Oh.
Because Midkar Docher Le.
Because he's not.
He is sure. In other words, he is a Bari on the other. So then he'll just... then it's a Motiv B'Mikzas case.
Okay.
Yeah. Sharon?
Tosfos is assuming, like if we go to our example of the Iman and the two versus the one, he's assuming that the two are an indivisible unit, right? So it has to be Motiv B'Mikzas, and it can't be like there's one case of
no, it's not two separate. It's not two separate times of employment. I mean, he didn't come at two separate times. You know, he came at one time. You owe me two dinarim, and the guy was motivated to one. Yeah.
But don't really show him how to turn that into a case.
Well, that's what we'll see. We're gonna come to that. Now let's see now what the Ramban did. Now the Ramban, he felt that Minat Torah, it is not Shema. this is not a Shema case. Why is this not a Shema case? It can't be a Shema case because the Baal HaBayis says, I'm sure. We, the Dayanim, have no right to say to a litigant when, who says, I'm sure, to say, no, you really don't know. And I understand the Ramban. I think, you know, a guy comes in and says, I'm absolutely sure I only owe him whatever it is, right? Or I paid him already. How can you say, no, we don't think you're right? Unless you have previous experience with this guy. In the past, you know that he says things that he really doesn't know about. But if you don't know anything about the guy, oh, guy says, I'm sure that I paid him, or I sure I only owe him one dinar. So the Ramban believes min HaTorah, there's no Bari V'Shema here. So what is it then? This whole thing is a Din D'Rabbanan. What's a Din D'Rabbanan? That mid D'Rabbanan, we're going to, because he's Torah B'Po'alav, it's only a Chumra D'Rabbanan that we're going to treat this guy, which guy? The Baal HaBayis, as a what? As a Shema. Me'ikar Adin, he is not a Shema. It's only midr. Now, why did the Rabbanan do it? Why would the Rabbanan go out of their way? Why should they treat something as a Shema when they know Me'ikar Adin, it's not a Shema? Kidei Chayav. So if you really think about it, yeah, Hannah?
So, are you saying that the Ramban thinks that Torah B'Po'alav isn't, is it was like only a Durban an appellation, or
yeah?
Okay, so he's saying that otherwise he really is bari. The Rabbanan are making him Shema.
They're gonna treat him like a Shema.
But really, he is a bari.
Yeah.
Or really, we don't.
So really, if you think about it, what does it really mean they're doing? What they're really saying is, you know what? Because of Kedei Chayev, we want to give him the money. think about it. So it's like, well, we'll treat him like a Shema, what then, Bari B'Shema, Bari Yadav. So, I mean, but the whole thing is not true. The Rabbanan are simply making this up. So why would they make up something that they know is not true? Because the answer is, the Ramban says, that they wanted to give the money to the Socher because he needs it, mamish, for his parnasa, for his livelihood. Just 1 second. So he needs it. So therefore, because he needs it, we're going to give it to him. How can you give it to him? Well, we'll say the Baal HaBayis doesn't really know what he's talking about. We know that's not true. We know that we have no right to assume that. But we're going to do it anyway. Because we want to award the money to the Socher. So if we want to award the money to the Socher, that's why the Gemara asked, so then let's just give it to him. Why is there even a need to swear? So the Gemara answered, Kedei L'Hafis Dato. Right, Shal Baal HaBayis. So now, when it comes down to this is, The basically the only reason why we are giving the money to the Baal HaBayis, giving to the Socher, I mean, is because of Kedei Chayev. That is the only reason. If that's the case, so then the problem was, so why is the Socher the one that's going to, why is the Socher a Nishba V'Notel? Why don't we just make the Baal HaBayis to be a Nishba V'Niftar? Well, they want to give the money to the Sakhir, and what? Because we're going to view it as though what? That we're going to be Machmir and look at the Baal HaBayis as a Shema. By looking at him, which we know is not true, but we're going to, it's like we're pretending. We're going to imagine that this guy is a Shema. What do we gain by doing that? What we gain then is, that's why the money has to go to the Sakhir. Because what was our problem before? Our problem before was that Mishum Kedei Chayav, we were going to impose the Shvua and give it to the Socher to be a Nishba V'Noto. So the Gemara didn't understand that. The Gemara asked, well, why not just impose the Shvua on the Baal HaBayis and let him be a Nishba V'Niftar? Remember that was... So what are we answering now? Oh, no, we have to look at this case differently. We're going to look at it that the Baal HaBayis is a Shema, so we're not going to let him swear. And since we're going to look at him as a Shema, we're simply going to award the money to the Socher. Why does he have to then even swear? Kedei L'Hafis Dato. Isn't that right? So what would the Ramban then say now? Let's say, what does the Ramban then do with the Ketzitza Gemara? The Gemara then asks, Ihachi afilu kotzatz nami. So the Gemara is saying what? That if we're talking about Torah B'Po'alav, so then if he's Torah B'Po'alav, so why don't we then view what? That on the second dinar that he says, I do not owe him, let's also be machmer mid the Rabbanan. And what? and simply say that because we're machmer midrabbanan, let's treat him like a shema. Let us treat him like a shema, and therefore what? Well, if we treat him like a shema, what? So that he should pay. Why should he pay? Because he's a shema. You don't need. Do we have to introduce the halacha of moda b'miktzas mitol sheni yochel v'shava mishalim? I don't see why we have to introduce it. We'll simply say on the second dinar, the balabais is a shema. The sochir, and we want the sochir to get money because he needs it for his livelihood. So memela will make him pay. That's all. The same way we made him pay when he said he paid the whole thing already. So we'll make him pay when he says he only owes one and not two. So, you see, the Ramban doesn't have to be bothered by what Tosis is kasha, because the whole thing is midrabbanon. We're just being machmir to treat him like a bari. We'll treat him like a bari v'shema that everybody could agree to, bari adiv. This whole thing is midrabbanon. You don't have to deal with the problem that Tosis asked. We're not worried about Rav Nachman and Rav Yochanan Shita, really. Because the whole thing, we're making it up. You understand what I'm saying? The whole thing is the Rabbanan wanted to do this to protect to safeguard the Sochir. So you don't have to deal with the problems that Tosfos raised, because according to the Ramban, the whole thing is just a Chumrah the Rabbanan. Yeah, questions?
So then what, so according to Ramban, then in the case of Ksitsa, we're just not saying that he's a Shaman, and therefore it's okay?
Oh, so 1 second. So then the Gemara answered. So what's the Gemara's answer according to the Ramban? So according to the Ramban, we can't even suggest that he's even look. No, you can't say two and two is five. But you can't be unreasonable. Because remember, what was the basis for the Ramban to say that we're going to be machmir and treat him as a shema? Remember what the Ramban said? Because we've seen in Doros Achronim that people were saying things bididami. And why did Ramban need that? Why not just say, we want to treat it as a Shema, period? Because we can't treat it as a Shema if there's no precedent at all where people are saying things bididami. You can't, I guess Ramban feels, that they can't do. That's like turning logic on its head. You can't do that. So what the Ramban, not, according to the Ramban, what's the Gemara's answer? Midchad Dachrile? There is no precedent for what? There is no bididami when it comes to what? Ketzitza. There is no bididami. We have no precedent that people bedoros achronim were telling you what the wages were, and they were making, and they were just making it up as they go along. We have no precedent for that. So therefore, if we have no precedent for that, then we have no basis. The chacham, even though they wanted to give the money to the sacher, which is really so interesting to me, it's as though they needed to find a basis, Otherwise, they wouldn't simply give the money to the Sacher, even though that was their real motivation. But they wouldn't do it unless there was something to base it on. What the Ramban said, what was it that they based it on, was bididami. But in the case of Ketzitza, answers the Gemara, there's no bididami. Yeah.
So we said that the reason that they wanted to do it was because they hide. But the Gemara never says, the Gemara only uses the Chayiv as the reason why they switched it.
I know.
So is that...
So this is where the question then is...
You would have thought it may have said it like originally as like the reason for making it.
Well, the Kedei Chayiv, all that was about the Shavua, that it was to be imposed on the Balabais in theory and then switched to the Sacher. All that was Kedei Chayiv. Well, I said that, well, not only the switching, but also the fact that we would have imposed it in theory on the Baal HaBayis to begin with.
So you just assumed
that. So all about the Shavua seems to be what the Kedei Chayiv was about. But then the Gemara said, Ela Torah Hu B'Po'alov. So what happens now? So according to the Ramban, we're still working with Kedei Chayiv. Mm-hmm. But because of Kedei Chayiv, and since B'Doros Achronim, people say things bididami, therefore we're going to be machmir and treat him like a shema. And therefore, once we treat him like a Shema, so therefore the Kedei Chayev is going to accomplish more than what we initially thought it would accomplish. Initially, hear what I'm saying now? Initially, we thought that, what did the Kedei Chayev accomplish? It created a Chiyuv Shvua. In theory, it should have been imposed on whom? The Baal HaBayis, but V'shodyua Asochir. Now, the Gemara had problems with that. Isn't that right? Which led the Gemara to think that, no, this is where the Ramban would learn. The Kedei Chayev is going to accomplish even more. Why? What will the Kedei Chayev even accomplish? To make him pay. Even without a Shvuah. Why would the Kedei Chayev do that? Because B'daros Achronim, we have seen that people say things B'didami. So therefore, we're going to be Machmir and say that this Baal HaBayis is really B'didami. He's talking B'didami. He really doesn't know. And once we assume that, then Mishum Kedei Chayev will just make the Baal HaBayis pay the Sochir, the full amount. So that's where the Gemara is. So then why does he even have to swear? That's Kedei L'Hafiz Dato. So what's happening is it's really degrees about the effectiveness of Kedei Chayev. You understand what I mean by that? Initially, what did we think the effectiveness of the Kedei Chayev was? Legabe what? Shvua. But then once we reach Targu B'Polov, it goes up a notch. What is the effectiveness of the Kedei Chayev? The effectiveness is that actually we'll award the money to the Socher because of Kedei Chayev, because we're going to view this guy as B'didami. And the Shavua is only because of Kedei L'Hafiz Dato. That's according to the Ramban. So the Kedei Chayev remains. Yeah, what is
it? The Kedei Chayev wasn't brought in. There was never a suggestion that the Baal HaBayis would take the Shavua in Yishvam Niftar. The Kedei Chayev was brought in to say, we take it away from the Baal HaBayis.
Which is acknowledging that there was on the Baal HaBayis. So how did it get onto the Baal HaBayis to begin with? Well, I know, but if you learn, according to the first day of Tosfos, that Tosfos says it's only in theory. Well, what do you mean in theory there would have been a Shvua? That would be a Takonas Chachamim, right? Why would the Chacham have done that in theory?
It would have been Mishum Kedei Chayev, but that's not a stage in the Gemara.
It's an assumed stage.
Yeah. But when the Ramban reads Kedei Chayev back in at the end, that's not... At the end, Kedei Chayev is there to say that it goes to the... Sapphire,
because we're going to be machmir and treat the Baal HaBayis as B'didami.
Right, but what was Kedei Chayev doing the first time it's written in the Gemara? It wasn't doing the same thing.
Because we didn't think that the Baal HaBayis was B'didami. We thought it was Bari and Bari. So the only thing that the Kedei Chayev could do is to make somebody swear.
But it's brought the first time the words Kedei Chayev appear in the Gemara, it's on Akruha.
I know. But if you take the first pshat of Tosfos, the Akrua is assuming that there would have been a Chiyuv Shvua on the Baal HaBayis.
So how does the Ramban read that line?
So tell me, if you assume that in theory there would have been a Shvua on the Baal HaBayis, stop right there. And you have to ask yourself, why would there have been a Shvua on the Baal HaBayis? For what reason? What other reason could there be except for Kedei Chayev?
Right, but that's not a stage in the Gemara.
Sure it is. It's a stage that's been assumed, and then they're working off of that stage.
So because we instituted it because of Kedei Chayev, we're also going to switch it because of
it? Yeah, the Kedei Chayev not only will, the way the Ramban would learn it is that there are really two steps in the Kedei Chayev. In other words, they wanted to give the Shvua to the Sochir,
so
to be an Ishva Benoto.
But
you need the...
We switch to Tarif.
No, before you get to that, just in the beginning, so... In order to switch it to the Socher, you have to assume the first stage. Now, the first stage is we would have put it on the Baal HaBayis. That's assumed in the words Okruah means you take it away from the Baal HaBayis. Well, how did it get to the Baal HaBayis to begin with? Why would the Baal HaBayis have been the one to swear in the first place? Yeah. So that's Mishum Kedei Chayev. What other reason? Really, it's not Shvuas Heseis. It's not Kofra Kol Chayev Shvuas. It's not that. So then what is it? That's what Tosfos says, that it would have made sense to make the Takana for the Baal HaBayis to swear. What do you mean it would have made sense? For what reason? It's got to be Kedei Chayev. What else is there?
Right, but the words Kedei Chayev, Mishum Kedei Chayev, are only there once in the Gemara. There's a question whether Tosfos takes that out at the end, and Ramban leaves it in.
Right.
But the one time that it says it, it said it's there both as the Gemara brings up originally as both stages, as putting in the Shavuot.
For the Shavuot, only, and actually they wanted even to let the Sacher be a Nishba Venotel.
So at what point, when you see the Ramban leaves it in, the Ramban, that's not a different use of Pechaya from the way it was used in the Gemara beforehand.
Well, actually it is. At the end of the Gemara, you mean? When you get to Torah B'Po'alov?
Yeah, how is it any different? Because the original...
Because in Torah B'Po'alov was that he doesn't even have to swear, really. We're just going to treat him as a Shema, Midrabanan, so therefore the Sacher should just be able to collect without even having to swear.
Right, but it's Kli Chayev, when it says Akruha, and then it says because it's Kli Chayev, that was both the institution and the switch.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure I did. Okay. And
then
at the
Ramban is using it.
But then when
he keeps it in, it's not like we're saying that's where he gets the switch. When he reuses it at the end.
No. I mean the switch to Akruha Sacher.
Yeah.
No, the switch was up in the beginning.
Okay.
The only thing what at the end was, see, in the beginning, they said that in order for the Sacher to collect, what does he have to do? What is that? Akruha Rabban Lishvuam and the Balabayas v'shodyu Asacher. Why shodyu Asacher? Why did they make the Sacher swear? So what would happen if, in other words, in the beginning we think that we'll only give it to the Sacher if he's willing to swear. What would be the role of the Shvuah? Just try to take that idea. What do you imagine the role of the Shvuah would be? What I'm getting at is, was it Kedei Lahafis Dato, Shabbal Abayah? So that's because we just have to strengthen the position of the Sacher to let him collect. It's the latter. And the way to win is you got to swear too. But when you get to the end of the Gemara, when it says Tarhu B'Po'alov, what's happening then? Then the Gemara is basically saying the Sacher wins without having to do anything. And the role of the Shvuah is not to strengthen the position of the Sacher so we can let him collect. He's going to collect just right off the bat. The role of the Shvuah is totally something else. It's to pacify this angry Balabayas. That's all. That's why we make the Sacher swear. He shouldn't even have to swear. Hypothetically, if the Balabai says, you know, I'm not so angry, I'm not angry. So, then the Sacher wouldn't have to swear either.
Well, presumably I'm not angry, situation.
I'm just trying to point out that the Shvuah was for the benefit of the Balabayas. It wasn't to strengthen, to give validity to the position of the Sacher, which ordinarily you would think that that is the role of a Shavuot in the Nishba Venotel. We got to make him swear. We can't let him collect us. We got to be sure that he's telling the truth. So the Shavuot, normally you would think that. But what the Gemara is saying at the end is, no, that's not what the Shavuot, the role of the Shavuot. The role of the Shavuot is Kedei L'Hafis Dato. Okay? Yeah. How?
So basically, you would put the Kedei Chaya would put the Shvuah on the Baal Habayi in the first place, and because of the fact that neither the Baal Habayi nor it should, but because it's Harav Upalov, it uplifts it from the Baal Habayi and puts it on the Sacher.
But how does Torah B'Po'alov do that? What does Torah B'Po'alov have to do with taking the Shvuah away from him?
Because of the fact that he is so busy that he isn't able to, be focused on.
Yeah, but the Gemara thing, once you bring that up, then if we're going to treat him like a Shema, which is what you're saying.
No,
that is Shema. That's what you're saying.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so once you're saying that, then you really don't even need the Shavuah, which is what the Gemara assumed.
But it's just because it's not as strong. I mean, you really do need the Shavuah, because Tarot isn't really, it's not.
But I think you don't need you don't really need the Shavuah. That's what the Gemara said. Valais of lay below Shavuah.
Okay.
I'm working with the Gemara. You got to work everything in with the Gemara. You got to take what the Gemara, take what the Ramban said, and blend it in. Everybody has to work with the Gemara. Yeah.
Okay, I know we discussed this in the beginning of our classes, but like it's still really bothering me that like now, especially after we've done this through with the Ramban, that like this really is just like a Darabanan thing trying to play in the idea of Kedei Chayav. Like, meaning I know we said Kedei Mamonah, like Darabanan can be okay, but like. Like it's not even a scenario that the Deoraita has a din on that Darabanan are being okay. It's a concept. Like it's like an idea. I don't know, in my head it's different. I don't know if it's different actually when it comes down to it. But like it's not like Shor Shana Gach, right? And like Darabanan are saying because of a specific scenario and in our time we're willing to change the din in that case. It's like it's a concept, like it's an idea.
Well, they're changing though what the real idea of the Torah here is Bari. And we're going to go against the Torah and treat it like a Shema. So I mean it's the same.
I mean I thought that they were going against the Lo Tisaf Me'edal. Like,
well that was a different issue. Okay, so we're not really talking in
really they are going against that because the fact that they're going against you know, the Deoraita that really it's a Bari and they're treating it as a Shema, that's really just, that's ostensibly that's what they're arguing against. But really what they're doing is just trying to push the idea of Kedei Chayav.
Yeah. Well, you're asking, what about that Pasuk? I don't, that's a good Kasha. I don't,
yeah.
So I, all right, so you have a Kasha, I mean, so that's something that you have to deal with, but I still, you know, I think that that's what the Ramban is saying. Now, so you're asking, well, isn't this the whole idea of Kedei Chayav, isn't that a violation of Lo Sisa Pnei Do? I don't know. So I'm going to think about it. I don't know.
Well, maybe that's why Tosa was reluctant.
Mm.
Maybe.
Right, because it seems that that's what Gemara is saying when it says, well, what do you mean today, Kayab? So we're going to make the Balabite suffer?
Yeah.
So,
right, but the
yeah.
Ramban
yeah.
still goes with
them. Yes,
mean,
what?
Isn't, I don't think this is really like Lo Sisa Pnei Do. I think this is like prevent. This is the person who has less of an. He's more likely to lose for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, but
and
here he would be losing for the right reason. Meaning, even though it doesn't matter if it's more likely or less likely, that's the same thing we had the same issue with treating the Baal HaBayit as a Shema. It doesn't matter what the general case is. What is he? Does he claim that he knows it or does he claim that he doesn't know it? Would the sefer lose for the right reasons or lose for the wrong reasons?
Well, since the sefer is going to take a shvua about it, so.
Yeah, but the Baal HaBayit would be willing to take a shvua about it also.
Yeah, I mean, like, giving the sefer.
You prove that the Baal HaBayit lies unintentionally.
No, but the point is that just because you have a stereotype that generally Baal HaBayit don't know what's going on, it doesn't mean that Joe Schmo that walks in, you tell him you're a Shema. Because you can't say that, because he'll claim that he's a Bari no matter what the general stereotype is.
But then if you have to go through the court, I think the reason there's like a principle here is because if you have to go through the court with every single case, the court will be filled with these worker-employer cases, and nothing else will get decided. And murderers will run free.
Yeah, I don't... Let's I just want to then raise another issue now. So now, when the Gemara says, so now, according to the Ramban, in a case where of Ketzitza, we, I mean, that's what the Gemara says, mitchar dochirle, so there is no Torah b'po'alov with regard to ketzitza. Isn't that right? That's what the Gemara is saying. So if this is the case, so let's now consider the following. What would be, according to the Ramban, right, let me ask, according to everybody, what's the halacha as follows? It's a motive of miktas. The Baal HaBayit, it's a case of ketzitza. They're arguing about what the ketzitza was. The Baal HaBayit says, I only agreed to pay you one dinar, and the sacher says, no, you agreed to pay me two. Now, ordinarily, this is Moda B'Mitzvah, so there should be a Shavuah of Moda B'Mitzvahs. Now, but not every Moda B'Mitzvahs swears. For example, this is what the Rima Gash and the Ramban mentioned. Did you all know what Halach was? Did you see that term?
Yeah.
No, some of you. Do you know what? Did anybody know what that is? Okay, yes.
Halach is a case when someone is, the plaintiff claims, you know, you owe me so much, and the defendant responds, no, I only owe you this much in halach, and here it is, and he pays him. And once he pays him, the case changes, because now he's paid, let's say, half the amount, so now the plaintiff's only claiming the half
the other half.
And now the defendant says, no, I don't owe you any of that. So now the defendant's a kofer bakol.
Right, that's correct. I'll repeat that. Halach means, the words halach mean like, here it is, like halacha. So, what the case of the file, I come to you and I say, you owe me $100. You say, no, you only owe me 50, and you take out $50 from your pocket and you're ready to hand it, and you're handing it to me. Okay. So really then, the question is, does that change the case? Because legally, does the case now change? Because it's not, can you still say, I'm claiming from you 100 and you're moded to 50? That's not exactly, I'm not, you paid the 50. So really, so this is a machlokis in the Gemara, whether the case legally undergoes a change. It's a machlokis amoron, and we paskin that it does undergo a change. So therefore, once he pays, he's ready to pay the 50, as the money hands him the 50, basically now it's a new case. Basically it's a case of what? I'm coming to you and I say, you owe me $50. This is the other 50. And what are you saying about it? You're a kofer hakokosh. You're saying you don't owe me a penny of the other 50. So this is the case of halach. And we paskin that halach is pater from a shavua, because the case is redefined as basically a case of kofar akol. So let's assume that this is what happened here. The socher asks, you owe me 2 dinarim for the work, and the Baal HaBayis says, no, I only owe you 1, and here it is. Now in that case, there's no shavua of moda b'mitzas, right? So what would happen then? So tell me what the halacha will be. What only what the halacha will be? Now, taking into account that there was a takana for the Sachir, right? We know it's one of the takanas of the Mishnah to be a Nishba the Notel. How does that play in? What happens now? Keeping in mind that in Kitsitsa, Midkar Dochirle, there is no Shavuah of Moda B'Mitzvahs here, because let's say it's a case of Halach. What's going to happen in such a case? Now, who talks about this basically? The Ramban and the Rima Gash. And who else? The Ran, and who else? Tosfos. Not directly, but you can infer which Tosfos? The Tzitzit one? Which one? Well, maybe, but even the earlier Tosis on of Grua Rabban and Shvuah Mibal HaBayis. What did Tosis there say? It says Afal Gav the Kofer Hakol Potter Delo Nitkana Shvuah Seses, right? Ad Bimei Rav Nachman. Yikomakom Al Bal HaBayis Shaycha Tvei. So, what does that mean? Even though Kofra Kol is Potter, because there is no Shavuos Heseis until the days of Rav Nachman, Mikol Makom Al Bal HaBayis Shaycha Tvei. Nevertheless, I mean, we talked about the Tosas, so what does Tosas mean? Nevertheless, it would be Shaykh on the Bal HaBayis. So according to Tosas, what does he mean when he says it was shayach that there should be a shvuah by the balabayas? So, but would he ever swear? Would it ever come out that the balabayas would swear? In the case of a sochir. What?
With kol parakol in the case of ketitza specifically, he would. Meaning, because before, the whole thing with that grusha was we originally wanted to put on the baal habayit, and that would have made sense, and then only because later on we're dealing with kedei chayav and all those other things, we took it off. But in the ketitza case, we maybe wouldn't take it off because he knows for sure the baal habayit, and it will leave it on the baal habayit in kol parakol ketitza.
So we'll leave it on. Well, that's the question. I thought there was, one second, did Tosfos, is there another Tosfos? We know what the Ramban and the Rima Gash, did you all, they both say that in the case of Ketzitza, where the balabayas was a moda b'mitzas, but there'd be no chiyuv shvuah of moda b'mitzas. Why not? Let's say because of halach as an example. So there's no shvuah of moda b'mitzas. That's out. So what do you have a case? But you have a case where the balabayas says one diner, the sofer says two, and there's no Torah v'pol of either. So that was midchar docher leh. So there's no Torah b'po'al. Now, if there's no Torah b'po'al of, so what does the Ramban say? What happens then? You understand why? Why does the balabayas swear? How do you get there? How do you get from the fact that there's no Torah b'po'al of, and then then we say, okay, now the balabayas should swear. How did you make that transition? Do you understand why? Yeah. Sharon, yeah?
The position of the shvuah was kedei chayav. It was only the switching it over to the sacher, which was so we don't have tarot, so we haven't switched it to the sacher, but kedei chayav still counts.
According to the Gemara in the beginning, when the Gemara didn't know yet about tarot v'po'alov, the Gemara thought that who should be the one to swear? The balabayas. And the Gemara, that's what the Gemara was troubled with. Why are we switching it to the Sochir? And the Gemara tried to answer, well, maybe because the Balabais wants the Sochir to swear, but the Gemara didn't accept that. So at that point, then, the Gemara still feels what? That really the Shvuah should have been imposed on whom? On the Balabais. Now, of course, when we get to the end of the Gemara says, no, there's no Shvuah at all. On the part of the balabayas, to the contrary, we're going to view the balabayas as a shema because of Torah b'po'alov in the regular case. Now, so the question then is, what happens in a ketzitza case? Now, in a ketzitza case, there's no Torah b'po'alov. Now, if there's no Torah b'po'alov, then the Ramban says, then we should go back to what the Gemara initially thought. What did the Gemara initially think before the Gemara gave the answer of Torah b'po'alov? That we should only force the balabayas to have to swear, and he'll be a nishba v'niftar. And the only reason why we moved away from that was because of Torah b'po'alov. But now there is no Torah b'po'alov when it comes to ketzitza. So the Ramban and the Rima Gash, they therefore both assume that what happens? That really the balhab, that would be the takana, the balabayas has to swear. That would be a din derabanan. This would be a takana, a shvuas of the Mishnah. This is not moda b'mitzas, right? It's in the case. So therefore, in the case of ketzitza, where there is no shvuah of moda b'mitzas, let's say because of halach, but there would be a shvuah derabanan. That who would have to take? That the balabayas will have to take. Now let me just, and that's how the Rima Gash explained the Gemara of Okrua Rabbanu Lishvua Mi Balabais Veshodyua Asochir. You understand it even better. What do you mean they uprooted it? Because the truth really is, the Shvua should have been taken by whom?
Balabais.
the balabayas. That's what it should have been. It's only because, so that's why, and in truth, according to the Ramban and the Rimagash, there will be an instance where the balabayas, in fact, will take the Shavuah. When would that be? Where there's no Torah B'Polov. When will there not be a Torah B'Polov in Ketzitza? What about the Shuv Motiv B'Mikzas? Let's say it was Halach. You understand what I'm saying? So, now Tosvis, what's the impression of Tosvis? So I thought, do you think Tosvis agrees with that or disagrees? You have an answer? Yeah, what does Tosvis say?
Can I
ask you? Yeah, okay.
Does it have to be in the case of Modeb without the Shuv, or could it just be when it's
Kofar Akol? How do you get a case of Ketzitza of Kofar Akol?
I
don't know. Well, the Ron says Ketzitza is Kofar
Akol.
Because of
the Halach.
Because of
Halach. Yeah. You're right, that would be a Kofar Akol.
Oh, okay, fine.
Because of Halach. Halach turns it into a Kofar Akol. Yeah, Devorah.
Wouldn't Tosfot say that he's making the Shua because of Moses?
No, what would Tosfos say in the case of Halach? You have to deal with what happens if it's Halach. What would Tosfos say?
Tosfos
says
we got
rid of what?
Didn't Tosfos say we no longer deal with Kedichayim?
Well, that's only because he's Torah B'Po'alov. But in the case of Ketzitza, he's not Torah B'Po'alov.
Yeah, but we still threw out Kedichayim.
Well, we threw it out because of Torah B'Po'alov.
No, that was because it's not fair to Bahabais. We were pleased we were tired of all of
them. Yeah, so because the Mar thought that we should really put the Shavuah on the Balabayas. And why are we switching it to the Sochir? To which the Gemara answered, Torah B'Po'alov. But when you come to Ketzitza, there is no Torah B'Po'alov.
No, so it must
so what should happen then?
It must be for the motivation ever to do, like, the only motivation for anything now is Torah B'Po'alov. Forget Kedichayev
But we can't forget it. What happens is, if every case of Sochir and Balabayas is a case of Torah B'Po'alov, then you'd be right. But we can't say that now, because there are cases of Balabayas, Sochir, you know, litigation, where there is no Torah B'Po'alov. So what
so
are you going
to... Tosfos would just say the Balabayas wouldn't take a Shavuah.
Would or would not?
Would say that the Balabayas does not take a Shavuah.
Well, that's the question. Because Tosfos just said... It was more shayach. So I got the impression from Tosfos that Tosfos never would have said, even in the case of Ketzitza, what would happen in the Ketzitza case?
In the Halach?
Where it's Halach.
No,
I would think there's just no Shavuah.
Because there's no Bari V'Shemah.
There's no Bari, it's Bari U'Bari.
Yeah.
And he's Midchar Dochirle, so... There would be no... So when would you only have the Shavuah? When would the Balabayas... Where, if there actually is a Shavuah of Motiv B'Mikzas, let's say where it's not Halach. You understand what I'm saying? Let's go over that again. Let's see if there's a clearer Tosfos. Oh, okay. Tosfos, we didn't do it yet, you'll see. I was, on Mem Vav Amud Aleph, there's a Tosfos that's very, very clear.
Okay.
Just one thing, clear to what? That in the case of Midchar Dochir, let's say in Ketzitza, let's say where there is no Shavuah of Motiv B'Mikzas, let's say because of Halach, right? Then what would happen? Then he simply would be, then there would be no Shavuah, because Kofar HaKol, Midrabbanan, there's no Shavuah in the case of Kofar HaKol until when? Until you got to the time of the Amoraim. There's no Shavuah in the case of Kofar HaKol. But you understand? So therefore, according to Tosfos, Tosfos feels the only way you'll have a Shavuah is if the Shavuah's Motiv B'Mikzas would apply, which would be only where there's no Halach. You understand what you got it? So we have this other issue as to whether there was this... So what do you do with the fact... Let me just make one point. So what does the Ramban do with the fact that we thought that there's no Shavuah's Heseis, there's no Shavuah in a case of Kofar HaKol until the time of the Amorayim? And here we have it in this case.
Because we're just going to go back to before the Akuram Balabais.
Yeah, I know, but what do you do with the fact, the Ramban also believes that in the case of Kofar HaKol, there is no Shavuah's Heseis.
Well, the Shavuah Heseis said that on every Kofar HaKol case,
right.
This is just a specific
Tantana. That's right. In other words, the Ramban would still say that in every case of Kofar HaKol, there is no Shavua Heses, because that didn't come about. But in this particular case, there was a specific takana that was made in this specific case of Sachar and Balabayas, that what? You understand? That this, that the Balabayas will swear, even though it's a Kofar HaKol case, which is a Kofar HaKol case, in a case of Ketzitza with Halach. Because in the case of Ketzitza with Halach, it's Kofar HaKol. And what did the Ramban say? The Balabayas swears. So he's swearing in Kofar HaKol. There's no Shavua of Kofar HaKol until Rav Nachman in the Gemara. The Teretz is, well, this is just one specific case where they imposed the Shavua. But generally speaking, in all other cases of Kofar HaKol, there is no Shavua yet. Not until you get to Rav Nachman. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah? Yes?
What about, did we deal with the Rabbah Habayas, not the Ketzitza case, but the other case where it's Modu Lemitzas?
So what would happen in the, where it's Ketzitza and there is Modu
Lemitzas? Not Ketzitza. Just the regular wages case.
Okay, so what we do know, what do you think would happen? What's the halacha in the following case? The Baal HaBayis says, the Socha says, you owe me two. And the Baal HaBayis says, yeah, you're right, I did owe you two, but I've already paid you one.
It's still the same. Iran says that it's still the same. The Socha still takes the Shavua.
Yeah, based on, that would be based on the fact that what? Why would the Socha take the Shavua?
That Taru also?
You tell me,
still,
is that...
It's like low plug, kind of like...
No, you don't need low plug.
Even though you think that in that case he's more exacting.
No. This is really Torah B'Po'alov. It's not a low. You don't need it as a low plug.
Just say
it.
Wait, if there's more than mitzvah, and it's
no, 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 no.
It's even more Torah because he's already admitting that he owes
something. He feels he paid one already. Now, how does he know that he paid one? Well, I remember I paid you. Well, maybe he's Torah B'Po'alov. He thinks he paid him one and he really didn't.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing. What difference does it make if I think I paid you 2 dinarim? If I say to you, I paid you all 2 dinarim already. So we say, oh, he doesn't really know that. He thinks he did, but he's Torah B'Po'alov. So what if I said I paid you 1 dinar already? What? I will remember if I paid you one, but I don't remember if I paid you two.
Well,
it's the same Torah B'Po'alov. So what kind of a ketzitza do we say? When do we say the mitchar dochirle? When the debate between them is what? And what was the salary? You know, what did we decide the salary should be? That's where we say that a Baal HaBayis knows. He knows how much he agreed to pay. Whether he paid it or not yet, that we can't trust the Baal HaBayis because he's Torah B'Po'alov. But how much he agreed to pay, then we believe what he says. That's, you know, we view it as a bari. Yeah.
Tehran does bring up a Hava Amina that you trust him more.
Oh, so in this case of Modu B'Miktsas, but in the Modu B'Miktsas where it's not about what was the amount of the salary, but whether how much of it did he pay, so then there would be a Shavua of Modu B'Miktsas on whom? The Baal HaBayis, Min HaTorah. So what would happen right now? Would we now say Shod Yuha Asocher?
That's
where
the rest is. That's why it's free to Zakruha to teach you.
You're going to switch it.
Right.
Because he's Torah B'Po'alov. We're not going to let him swear because he's Torah B'Po'alov. Didn't Tosa say the same thing?
Yeah.
That was the second pshat of that Tosa. V'agruah rabbanon shvul mi'bal habayis v'od afilu b'moda b'mitzah shod yu asochir. What kind of moda b'mitzahs? Not the ketzitza one. You understand what I'm saying? Which mode of the mixas would that be? What, the one I just described where I say I paid you one already and you say you haven't paid me anything. So in that case of mode of the mixas, they're not going to let the Baal HaBayis be a nishba v'niftar. They'll say to the Baal HaBayis, no, we're not going to let you swear. Instead, what will they do? They'll put it on the sochir. Is that clear? So there are two kinds of, so in a mode of the mixas where he's Torah B'Po'alov, then the shvuah will be placed on the sochir. They're not going to let the Baal HaBayis swear. If what? If, in fact, it's a ketzitza type of case, then Tosfos says, well, then he's just, let's say a ketzitza case So let's say he is a motive of mixer. Let's say there is a shvu of motive of mixers. What would happen then?
Then everyone agrees
in the shvu. And the Baal Bais takes his shvu and he'll be potter.
But that's a shvu of motive
mixer. Right. Now, if it's a halach case, so the Baal Bais is not going to have, so then what happens?
Nothing.
So then, according to Tosfos, nothing happens. There's nothing. And according to the Ramban and the Rimagash, there would be a takanas chachamim that the shvua would be, who would take a shvua? Baal Bais will be a nishba v'niftar. Yeah.
Okay. So we keep on saying that Baal Bais knows how much he agreed to pay his workers, but whether he actually paid his workers, that we're not so trusted, that we don't trust him so much with. Why is that? Meaning, like, why do we trust him with one and not the other? I don't really understand the difference. Like, both of them, in my mind, there's involved some sort of records or, you know, I just don't...
Well, I can understand that. It could be, you know, listen, if you're in a business world and you have workers and you're all paying, let's say you're paying them $10 an hour because that's the going rate. And that's what you're paying every single work. You have 200 workers, you're paying every one of them $10 an hour. So that we think you'll remember. But out of the 200 workers, you could remember which one you paid and which one you didn't pay?
Right, well, that's assuming that all of them have the same salary. Like well,
yeah, but there is a going rate.
It's also that there is, like, that usually, anyone's around who says that, like, usually workers get paid, like,
a certain
not
amount.
Too much more, not too much less than the going rate.
Yeah, so there is a going, I could see how that's possible. I know, I can remember the going rate, but to remember, you know.
It also may be just that you pay your workers every day. So you could remember, oh, I paid you, but really I paid you yesterday. Whereas the agreement, it's a contract you make once.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I could, you know, I could hear, you know, that one is easier to remember than the other. I think that's reasonable. Yeah.
I'm not really sure why you're asking as such a large question for us in a case of the one that makes that where he wasn't sure if he got paid, like what, whether, like who would be to the shrub, because isn't it obvious, like Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, like that's what he says, like playing out, like wouldn't it be like Kavach Omer, like from Kofar HaKol to that?
I'm not fine. Start again. What?
Like, I'm not so sure. Like, why it was such a question? Like, in
which question?
Modeh b'mikzah. Why? Who would make a shvuah?
Which case of modeh b'mikzah?
Whether the guy got paid or not. Not that now. So isn't that exactly like Rabbi Judah's case?
So in that case, there'd be a shvuah of there'd be a chiyuv shvuah of modeh b'mikzah.
Of the sachir. The sachir, yeah. The sachir would make. So I'm saying, like, isn't that? Like if the
that would, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, that is the only case in which
right. So I'm saying, like, it just wasn't so clear, like, why that was, like, such a not obvious answer to us. Like if for sure by, if the Chachamim are going to say for sure by Kofar HaKol, the Sacher can make it, then Kav HaKomer for...
Yeah,
for
I agree. Yeah.
So it wasn't necessarily Kav HaKomer, though.
No.
And you're saying if Rabbi Yehuda says there would be a Nishba Venot in that case, certainly the Chachamim would...
Right.
Yeah, I think that's
probably... Because by Modeh b'mikzah, you think that maybe we should just leave it by the Baal, because that's a chiyuv from the Torah.
Okay,
so
that could be.
But then Rabbi Yehuda is mechadesh us from the Mishnah anyway, so we wouldn't even have to question.
Right,
no?
you could still say that maybe the Rabban, he thought it was only in that case,
so
and he thought it was
because of the
not.
Fact
right.
That you don't follow.
We do know that Tosfos said, according to the Chachamim, that Shadyu HaSachir would apply. I don't know if there's anybody who says otherwise. I haven't come across yet, so I would think everyone would agree to that. Let me bring... Yeah, what is it?
What would happen if there's one aid on the side of the Baal Bais? Would we still say Torah?
The Baal Bais says what?
The Baal Bais said I paid, and the worker said you didn't pay, and he had one aid.
What does the aid say?
The aid says he paid.
Okay, so
normally there's the Baal Bais would take a shvua and be potter.
But one second. Usually the aid echad supports the plaintiff.
Okay,
you're talking about shvua said echad? No, that's not the case.
You couldn't have a shvua. You couldn't have an aid that you have paid.
Right.
Could you?
Yeah.
You have an aid that I was with him all day. And
you could, I guess. You have to say I would.
So in that.
In other words, if I say you owe me $100 and you deny it, and then I have an Eid Echad that says, yeah, you do owe me the $100.
That can only be to the...
Right, but if you have an Eid that says I don't, like,
So if you say, if I say you owe me money and you say I don't owe you the money, and an Eid Echad says that you don't owe me the money, so there's no Shavua.
An Eid Echad only enforces a Shavua when it's from the plaintiff.
And that the defendant has to be a Nishba v'Niftar.
Against the Eid Echad.
Right. Against the Eid Echad. Let me now raise a different question now, and that is the Ihachi in the Gemara. Remember, there are two Ihachis in the Gemara. One is Ihachi afilo kotzatz nami, and then Ihachi afilo ovar zmano nami. Now, Tosfos, did you understand the top Tosfos on Memhei on the base? What is Tosfos? He says, Afagav dein shaykh kan iyamad bishlamo. Ein lochush, what's that olive? You have to add in a word here. Kevan. Ein lochush, kevan shadayin lo pirei shum tam. V'yafo pisha pirei shrav nachmishim kadei chayav. Lo mashma dekoya ha ihochi. What is Tosfos saying? When is the Tosfos? Yeah? What is the...
But
I don't know if people, you're right. Did everybody follow what you just, or finish?
Okay.
Yeah. I'll repeat it. Go ahead.
So in this case, we only have one option.
What is the option?
That we try to follow love. And when we talk about another approach, that would be the Bishama approach, it's an approach that we haven't really encountered yet. And it doesn't seem like there is one. And it's not possible to say that the second approach is Rav Nachman's original answer, that it's just Kedei Chayav and nothing else.
Yeah, she's right. I'll repeat it. Tosfos says that this Ihachi is not your typical Ihachi that you'll come across many times in the Gemara. A lot of times you'll have that when the Gemara is trying to figure out something and they'll suggest one and then they'll suggest another reason, then you might say, Ihachi, if this is the case, so what about this? And very often what that means is as follows, that if you work with the first reason that we gave, then the following problem would not be a problem. But with your second reasoning, let's say I started off and I gave reason X, but then there was a problem with that. So I gave reason Y. And after I gave reason Y, I then said, Ihachi, if you're going to work with Y, what are you going to do with problem A? So a lot of times the Gemara means by that is, Bishlama, if you worked with reason X, then problem A is no problem. But if you're going to work with Y, then A is a problem. It's always, when the Gemara says Ihachi, means they're always contrasting this with something else that would have worked better. That's very often you'll find that Ihachi. Is that the kind of Ihachi that's working here? So Tosfos says, no. There is nothing that we know of, there's no alternate pshat that would work better that we know of. He says, Afagav de'ein shayach kan iomar bishlamo. Now, Iomar Bishma should be in quotation marks. Even though it's not shayach here to be able to say that if you would have said, like my example, if you would have said X, then Bishlamo, then A would not be a problem. But if you're going to tell me Y, then A is a problem. You can't do that here, says Tosfos. Why? Kevan shadayin lo pirei shum tam. What does that mean about adayin lo pirei shum tam? The Gemara hasn't given us And another reason. The only reason that we know of that works is which one? Torah B'Po'olav. That's the only one that works. The Afal Pi Shapiresh Rav Nachman Mishum Kedechayav. I told us no, but we did have an earlier suggestion of Kedechayav. Lo Mashma Dekoy Aha Ihachi. That the Ihachi, it's not Mashma, that the Ihachi is what is going on that. Understand? Because he threw it out. Now, the Ran, that's what it gave you, the Ran, the Ran, and you see that this to me would probably, the Ran, according to the Ran, it was not thrown out. It was not thrown out. And according to the Ran, the Ihachi, that's exactly what the Ihachi is doing. This Ihachi is typical of the Ihachis that you'll find all over Shas, the way I was describing it before. Namely what? So how would it come out here? Those Ihachi means if you're going to work with Torah B'Po'alov, as opposed to what? Now remember what that would mean then. As opposed to Kidei Chayav, we're going to have a problem. Notice, if you're going to work with Kidei Chayav, then the following would not be a problem. Now, Kidei Chayav has its own problems. This is not to take away from the fact that we had a problem with Kidei Chayav. What was the problem? It's not fair to the Baal HaBayis that we should let the Sochi be a Nishma V'Noto. That's true. But what the Gemara now is saying is, okay, wonderful. So you brought in Kidei Torah B'Po'alov. All right. So what's really happening is, okay, you solved one problem, but I have another problem that's going to be a problem for the Torah B'Po'alov reason, but would not be a problem for the Kidei Chayav reason. And why is that so? How did the Ran? I mean, you could debate this with the Ran. What did the Ran? How did the Ran explain it? Why the Ihocha Filo Kotzatz Nami? So the Ran said, if you work with Kidei Chayav alone, and you don't introduce, you know, Tir the Po'alim, you don't introduce it at all. You just work with what? Kidei Chayav. Then I understand what?
Why you can't come the next day.
Oh, take the first one, Kotzatz Nami. You're doing about Over Zmano?
Yeah.
No, the first one, Ihachi.
But the Ihachi is talking about Over Zmano.
No, there's one at the top of the page. There are two Ihachis.
But the first Ihachi, even according to Tosfot, is the normal one.
The Ihachi is on...
The
oh, I mean, if Tosfos.
Is not normal, is
oh, I just assumed it would be on both. Although you're right, Tosfos only has it on a few over Zmano.
But how
okay.
Do the same?
Yeah, you're right. It's a very good kasha. But I just, you're right. I missed that. But then I don't know how it would be different. Why would Tosfos think that the second Ihachi is not going on Kidei Chayav, but the first one is? I don't see a logic to that. If the first one is, then Lahefech, I would say the second one also is. So why Tosis made his comment only on Afil Over Zmano Name, I don't know. I wonder if anybody makes a... So let's just finish the point, and then I'm going to come back to that. That's a good point. So what does the Ran say? Why is Kotzatz, what is the halacha by Kotzatz that we see in the Gemara? Hamotzi b'chaver lo faraya. Right? There's no Nishma V'Notel. The Socher loses, basically. So in a sense, so it says what? If you're working with Mishum Kidei Chayav, then I understand it. So what did the Ran say? Why do I understand it? Who remembers the Ran? Yes.
It's not a big deal. It's only going to be a small amount, so
Kidei
Chayav doesn't apply.
How does the Ran know that it's a small amount? Maybe it's some...
In that range.
That's right.
He's arguing the difference between this and this.
It's
he can get by with that.
Yeah. It's almost negligible. I wouldn't say it's negligible, but it's we're not talking about a lot of money. Because it's got to be within the ballpark, because if it's something that's just, you know, way out, so we're assuming that it's something that's within reason. So the difference between the two numbers is small. And so what? So if it is small, well, then there's no issue of Kidei Chayav, because if he gets the one dinar, his needs will be taken care of for the day. He'll be able to put food on the table. Okay? So he won't have the extra that he's asking for. There's no compelling reason that Mishum Kidei Chayav we should make a takana. But if you're saying that, what? But if we're introducing what? That it's Torah B'Po'alov, that you have to have the Torah B'Po'alov. So then, if you need the, so then in the case of Ketzitza, there is Torah B'Po'alov. So therefore, so this is now, I see, according to the Ran, this, I find this hard now. How do you, who can do this? tell me the run. Go over the run. Does Iyamar Dishlama Kidei Chayav, then what? So then there's no need to make a takana when they're fighting over the ketzitza, because the difference between their two positions is small. And there's no kidei chayav, there's no pressing need of kidei chayav. Isn't that right? But if you're introducing what? Now let me stop a second. Remember, introducing Torah B'Polov according to the Ran, does that exclude kidei chayav? Right? See, according to Tosfos, it is excluded in Torah B'Polov. Now, according to the Ran, didn't the Ran also explain that you still have the Kedei Chayav? Even when you bring in Torah B'Polov?
Did he say that?
I thought he did.
I thought
the Ran also said it.
Look,
he quoted the Riff. Yeah, he explained that. Remember the Riff had both? Remember the Riff? How did the Riff say it? He said it, where is it? Exactly.
And he
explained it. So what did he say? Where is that in the Ran?
It's like 12 lines up from the bottom. It's a little bit before the brief before the Mohammeds.
Okay.
On the side. It's like 2 lines up from that.
Yeah, Ratzel Lomar, Mishum Kedei Chayav de Sochir Tiknu Shavua al Balabayas. The Kevan Shiro Shasok of Merubin Vene Yochel Yishova Tiknu Shishova Hasochir Uda Amrin and Torba Polov or Lavdavka Polov. Okay, says something. It doesn't have to be whether how many workers you have. So read that. Let's go over that again. Mishum Kedei Chayav de Sochir Tiknu Shavua al Balabayas. The Kevan Shiro Shasok of Merubin. Veni yochel ishava tiknu sheyishba hasochir. Is that right? So you have both. The kedei chayav is in order to introduce a shvua, and then because of Torah b'poalov, we're going to then switch. Of course, he's skipping a step. The way it really mishum Torah b'poalov, we're going to treat it like a shema, and then we're going to impose the shvua kedei lahafiz dato. But you know, he's just summarizing. So now, just 1 second. So now, so tell me now, assuming that that's how you understand Torah B'Po'alov, so let's now go back to the Gemara, Ihochi, the way the Ran wants to learn it. If you're going to say only Kedei Chayav, there's no Torah B'Po'alov at all, then Ketzitza, I understand why in Ketzitza there's no Kedei Chayav. Because the difference between the Soch and the Balabayas is small. Isn't that right? Fine. Now someone continue. But if you're learning what? Mishum Tarud. Go ahead, somebody go ahead.
Maybe he forgot how much he needs.
So then what? Then there is Tarud. And he's Tarud about what?
He doesn't remember how much
he promised. He doesn't remember, although, the difference is small.
But it doesn't matter.
The issue is
but what about? But isn't there Kedei Chayav too, even if you hold of Tarud? But look at, didn't the Ran try to deal with that? Let me see, where is it now?
Oh, he just says, you throw out the, you say to Dick Hive, you wouldn't have a question. But with Tara, you do it.
Yeah, does he?
It's like, you said Tara.
He doesn't say, El Iyamart, the third line from the top on Dav Chavav Amin Aleph. That's where he. In the middle of the line, Eli'i Amar Tahad Da Akru Nibal Abayis V'Shadu Asocher Mishum Tirdas Polim Hu. If it's because of Tirdas Polim, Afilo Kotzatz Nami. Why Afilo Kotzatz Nami? But why don't you say that we have no? If there's no Kedei Chayav, now what's propelling us? Why do we say Mishum? I thought we needed the Kedei Chayav. We don't need it? How did we explain?
No, but once you have Kedei Chayav, that pushes you to say that it is Tarud. So once you say Tarud, then don't you have to assume it's always Tarud, even for...
Yeah, I know, but if you don't have the Kedei Chayav, if...
Well,
Well, is that what you have to do? Is that what we're going to have to say as a
low? Why is that a bad answer?
Well, I don't know, because
no,
there's no reason why we
because
if you look a little bit ahead, in the next Ihachi, there I thought the Ramban, not the Ran, was a little bit more explanatory. He said, you see in the next Ihachi? Because he does the same thing there too. Ihachi, let's... What is he saying there? That if you're working only with kedei chayav, so kedei chayav is only when a worker needs to be paid in that day. But if the time has passed and he hasn't come forward yet, then obviously what? That the need of money was not so pressing. So then there's no kedei chayav, right? Elo l'ditcha d'amarta mishum tirdas polem hu. But if you're going to say mishum tirda, afilu avar zmano nami. The vadai afilu avar zmano islon litkune shvua. Abal habayis kidei shlo yelech hasocher bepachei nefesh umishum shesocher masratzmo scharo umishum tirdas bal habayis yesh lanu laokra mimenu lahatila ala socher. You see what he did? What is he doing there? That there certainly is what? What does he mean? He says, afilo ovar zmano islon letkune Shavua abal habayis kidei shlo yelech hasocher bepachei nefesh. What's he saying? That should apply. What should apply? That we should still have a takana mishum kidei chayav, because we don't want the socher to have to go bepachei nefesh, and because the socher was moser atzmal scharo, he really worked very hard, you know, to gain his salary.
So it's not
because of the Torah B'Polav? No, then the Torah B'Polav then comes in on top of that to then switch it to whom? But if you don't have the Kedei Chayav initially, then there's no, then the Tirda B'Polav doesn't do anything.
So he's saying that in my sense that it's really not Kedei Chayav because he doesn't, like...
Well, that's what I find this... I don't understand the Ran. I thought that in... Ovar Zmano, he just said a moment ago that there's nothing pressing the Kedei Chayav because obviously
he didn't need it.
And then he says in the next thing, he says that still there's still a reason to make a takana because we don't want the socher to go bepachei nefesh. What does he mean by that? What do you mean we don't want to go bepachei nefesh? What does the pachei nefesh mean? I thought it meant the same idea. We don't want to go and feeling, you know, depressed and feeling hopeless. And why would he feel all that if obviously we just assume that he doesn't need the money so much?
Right.
If it's the next day, there's not.
It's a different interpretation of Kedei Chayav.
Fine. So we have to come up with some interpretation of Kedei Chayav for this to work. Good. So we have to figure this out. But what I wanted to. So then go back to the first Ihachi. We got to have a kedei chayav. If there is no kedei chayav, then it's not going to work, even if you work with Torah B'Polalim. So tell me, what was the kedei chayav in the first Ihachi, if you work with Torah B'Polalim?
That you can use the same one.
I mean, even though the difference between what each one is claiming is small, but if we're not, but we should still award. We should still make a takana because we don't want the socher to walk around bepachei nefesh. So I just want to understand what this is. We walked around bepachei nefesh, we would apply that even if the amount of money that he's fighting for is very small and doesn't really make such a big difference. I just find it very inconsistent, no?
Well,
I don't get it. That's what I'm not...
Well, maybe to him, he needs it more, like the difference is... Like, even though it's a small difference, it's...
I mean, it's not pressing, but it's still, the socher feels...
It's not desperate, but it's pressing.
Okay, it's not desperate, okay.
Because
Because Kedei
Chayim,
meaning that he has a different standard of living.
No, see, he works hard, and we want workers to get paid. They work hard.
He should feel like he did something, and he did.
Yeah. In other words, so that's still a Shaya. As far as will he starve, will his family starve today? No. Yes, so maybe that's the, in other words, but workers should be paid. You know, people work hard.
But he said there's no Kedei Chayev in the first case.
Right.
So it's very difficult to say,
but that's,
yeah, but there really is, because Ron said explicitly that there is.
Yeah, but also in the second,
yeah, but in the second case, he's talking about two different Kedei Chayevs, right?
Yeah.
So that's what I realized, that you have to have a Kedei Chayev. So what are the two, so the same two Kedei Chayevs will introduce in the first Ihachi. So then we have to, okay, I think that's good, that there's one thing about desperation when you're thinking of, I'm not going to be able to eat today, versus even though you have money to eat today, but a worker doesn't want to feel like a slave. He wants to be appreciated, so he wants to be paid.
Isn't it also that if you...
Yeah, I think that's good. I think that works very nicely. Yeah.
If you say that he doesn't get it because it's not really Kedei Chayev, like it's not really such a big deal, then you're basically saying you can cheat people as long as it's only a little?
No, it's not saying you could cheat people. It's just that we're not going to make a special takana in a case when we don't know who's telling the truth. We don't know what's the actual truth. We're not going to make a takana if it's not a desperate need or whatever the Kedei Chayev is.
But isn't telling someone that they're being cheated, isn't that important?
We don't know if he's being cheated.
He could be lying.
Maybe the socher's lying. We don't know. The question is, what should we do about it? Should we make a special takana on his behalf? Well, if we feel that there's a pressing need to do so, maybe we'll do it. But we don't know who's telling the truth. Or we have to. So think this through. Go over this run. So it comes out then, according to the run, that there are two different Kedei Chayevs. Isn't that true? So go over it. Make sure we'll clarify it again. So on Monday, let's see, where are you up to in the Marmot? So I want to just discuss, I have really nothing much to add, just if you understood it, the Shavuos Heseis, where they're all bothered by Rashi. The Ramban was bothered by Rashi, that Rashi seems to be mentioning Shavuos Heseis. It's later in, but yeah, so he refers to it, so if you just take a look at it, you have to take a look at it, where Rashi, in one of the cases of the Mishnah, where there's a Shavua, Rashi calls that Shavua, Shavuos Heseis. And they're all excited. What do you mean, Shavuos Heseis? Does Rashi acknowledge that Shavuos Heseis was not created until the time of Rav Nachman? Does Rashi himself actually say that Beferish somewhere? Yes, he does. The Ramban, you'll see, they quote it. So Rashi knows that. So what's he talking about? So what's he calling a Shavua of the Mishnah? There's a case in the Mishnah, and Rashi calls it a Shavuos Heseis. So we're going to, and we'll talk about Nikitas Chayfetz, and whether it's Machrimin, or it's Bikinui, or Bishem, there's a Rambam and a Ravid. Just to go through it. After that, I want you then, if anybody has any questions, maybe we'll just summarize what we've done. But then I want you to then, in the Mara Makomos, to work on Ches.
Before that?
Zion. Well, that's all the Ramban. Well, there are a couple of still like odds, and then go over the Ramban in Zion. You'll see that what we've been talking about, a lot of it is in the Ramban. And anything new, we'll take care of it on Monday. I want you to finish everything through Zion. But there isn't much left for us to discuss. It's a little compared. I think we've done the bulk of it already. So once you finish that, try to start on Monday. We're going to try to get into Ches, and that's a very big sugya. And I have to give you separate Mara Makomos for that. I didn't. All right. So okay. Okay. So have a good Shabbos.